coffee, lettuce, and tomato too.
A man. A woman. A hamburger. A bun.
My uncle used to love me, but you died.
It's the Montreal Burger Report with Chris, Zeke, Ann, and Linda. Extra Pickles, Besnesner.
Good day. Welcome to episode 57. The Montreal Burger Report. In today's episode, Linda. Extra Pickles, Besnesner.
I have two pickles. I have two pickles today. Hey.
Explain the evolution of her burger consumption. From McDonald's,
McDonald's,
and Harvey's,
it's charbroiled to perfection,
to her vegetarian phase,
call for a free vegetarian starter kit at 1-888-VEG-FOOD,
to where it is currently, rare cheese, bacon, lettuce, tomato, onions, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, and rice. Zeke explains how his path has gone in opposite directions towards a plainer, more austere burger. Our hero and heroine briefly discuss the food issue of the New Yorker, and then Zeke tries to sound all authoritative by making up some nonsense about what the law is with regards to a hamburger being cooked in Montreal.
At some point, I assume you must have grown up from McDonald's.
What makes you assume that? I guess post-McDonald's, I would say also Harvey's was a thing. I guess then probably my next step in burger consumption was the inevitable late teenage move into vegetarianism when I was probably like 16 and my sister was 18 when she decided that she was going to be vegetarian. And my mom, I think she kind of initially was like, you know, this was a bit of a rebellion thing. She was like, I'm just not going to eat what you guys eat. You know, you can have whatever you want at dinner. I'll just make my own thing. And my mom was kind of like, no. If you're not eating meat, now nobody's eating meat. So, you know, we were vegetarian at home from that point on, I guess, probably till quite a lot later. And then I kind of would still sneak out and eat meat on my own until I was probably like 18, 19. And then, yeah, and then I guess when I went back to eating meat, I don't know, I feel like I don't make my own hamburgers, it doesn't occur to me to do that. I'd be more likely still to make my own lentil burgers just because raw meat frightens me.
There's nothing to be frightened about.
Really?
Yeah, it's for the most part very simple, very benign.
I'm willing to take your word for it. I think I just doubt my own abilities to cook.
But did you read the, was it the food issue of the New Yorker back in November?
The one that had Calvin Trill in here talking about Putin?
Yes.
I did read that, and it was a weird experience. I was like, what is he doing talking about my Putin place? Yes. It was like, I love all keys, and was like...
Mm-hmm. And I sort of went down the list and said, yeah, you hit them all. He has sources that know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it was super weird to read, though. I feel like there was just something so alienating about seeing places that you know being described in that New Yorker style, where you're like... And it's like, it's not that he's not getting them right, but...
It's just,
there's something... I don't know, romanticized or sort of mythologized about it, and because I love that when it's about places I haven't been or don't know, but when it's about somewhere I know, I'm like, oh, does that mean that half of what I like about the New Yorker is that, you know, is due to my unfamiliarity with the subject matter, you know? Like, if you can't describe something that I know about in a way that still manages to strike that chord with me, I feel like I've been fooled all these years.
Do you have a particular style of burger that you like these days?
Oh,
How do you like your burger done?
I would say, you know, I mean, the rarer the better, right? You know, overcooked burger is a bad idea, bad start point.
Okay, rare or blue?
I don't know that I've... I may have experienced a Blue Burger once.
Okay.
Possibly. I don't remember being grossed out by it. It was here somewhere, though. There was some schnancy place downtown that we were all at after a reading, where they had these kind of schnancy burgers that were, you know, $1 zillion. Uh-huh. And I feel like I did the embarrassing thing where you go, what's AAA meat? And they're like, AAA? Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, you went to M-Burger.
Yeah, yes, that's mm-hmm. what it was. And I made, do they do Blue Burgers
nope.
there? No? Okay, then I've never had one. Okay. Never mind. That's the fanciest burger experience I've ever
okay.
had.
So. No. Okay, no, by blue, I'm talking about the way that it's cooked.
No, no, I know.
Okay.
But I feel like in most, you know, if you were just like at some random diner, mm-hmm. I don't know that you could ask for a blue.
I always try. They're depending on the restaurant. There are places that will do it, but by law, they actually have to get it up to 160 degrees for, I think, 3 seconds, which means it becomes medium rare.
Huh.
But yeah, no, it's Mr. Steer, and Mr. Steer will do it blue.
Huh.
When I was at Burger DeVille, they will as well.
Huh. Is that, that's where we're going today?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Ooh, so should I try a blue one?
If you would like to.
Maybe I will.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I drank water that someone subsequently told me was possibly full of E. coli just the other day, so maybe it'll like balance it out.
No, it's also, I think it's all, they only, you only have to cook to 160 if you, the meat is ground off premises.
Okay, okay.
Which is maybe how they get around dealing with stuff, because that's, to me, the sort of litmus test for, do they really care about their meat or do they
right.
not? Because if you get it and you don't know where it is,
yeah.
where it's coming from,
uh-huh.
then at which point, why are you serving it to me?
Right, right.
And it's there. It's but it was really like we went to this place, Resto Philip. Restaurant
okay.
Philip. Where actually the guys have been following the same butcher as he goes from butcher shop to butcher shop
really?
To butcher shop.
Cool.
Which was very sweet.
It's like following your hairdresser.
Yes, exactly.
From salon to burger salon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess rare.
Okay.
And. I like me some cheese. I feel like, you know, I mean, I feel like I get kind of, I guess burgers are, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, kind of my, you know, most greasy indulgence food. So I feel like the more bacon and cheese and fried mushrooms and, you know, fried greasy things on it, the better.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard?
All of the above.
Okay.
Relish.
Uh-huh.
Pile it on.
Okay, then obviously the pickles.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What about onions these days?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, so you've gotten over the scraping them off the bun?
Yeah, no, I'm back. I don't know what I was thinking. I was a fool.
Okay. That's one of the things that I've discovered recently is where I used to like just piling it up, although I would never, ever do relish, never, ever do mayonnaise.
Really?
I think
neither, ever?
Relish just because it's sweet.
Mm.
And to me, sweet with burgers just doesn't go.
No good.
And mayonnaise, I think, just due to the Jewish heritage, and you really don't mix sort of like although mayonnaise is not really
dairy, though.
Yeah, it's dairy.
Just an egg.
It just looks dairy.
I feel like that seems like it doesn't totally count to me, but I'm willing to deal with it. I have Jewish heritage, too, but that does not stop me.
and there, it's also certain the amount of Jewish heritage I have.
Right.
Really wouldn't matter either way. But somehow mayonnaise is good for French fries.
Yes, I had mayonnaise with French fries mm-hmm. only a few hours ago.
Oh, okay.
And it was delicious.
But now that I'm Mr. Burger Guy.
Yeah.
It is. I realize I actually prefer sparser, and so cheese and bacon, maybe a pickle.
Right.
And that's about it.
Well, I guess it depends. You know. Who's the star here? Are we talking about the burger meat being the centerpiece of the burger? Is the burger itself, you know, does it rise above the sum of its parts to become a whole nother entity? I mean, I kind of... Oh, gosh, and sliced tomato I love.
There it's in Canada in the middle of the winter. Sometimes good sliced tomatoes are very difficult
this
to find.
This is extremely true. Yeah. I mean, I do think of burgers as kind of a summer thing. To me, it's like you get them, you know, at a at a festival.
Thank you very much for listening to episode 57 of the Montreal Burger Report, where Chris Zeke Pan and Linda Extra Pickles Besner.
I have two pickles, I have two pickles, I have two pickles today. Hey.
Hung out at the legendary Montreal bar, Copacabana, before going to pretty much the only country and western bar in Montreal, Spurs.
I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Be sure and listen again in 168 hours when our hero and heroine decide to leave Copacabana and begin their country and western burger experience. They walk outside, hail a cab, and block some traffic. Will the cab driver know how to drive? Will the cab driver understand directions? Is this going to be the cab ride from hell? Find the answers to these and other questions next week in episode 58 of the Montreal Burger Report. Same burger time, same burger town.
Holy geography!
Copacabana is located at 3910 Salon. Their phone number is 514-982-0880, and they are open 7 days a week from about noon to 3 in the morning. The Montreal Burger Report is a radio show and podcast where Zeke and Extra Pickles go out, have a couple of burgers, some beer, and talk about it. It is your source for the most in-depth and comprehensive coverage about hamburgers, cheeseburgers, and sliders in Montreal. There is a new episode available every Wednesday morning at montrealburger.wordpress.com and on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. If you would like to write to us, our email address is montrealburger@gmail.com. This episode of the Montreal Burger Report was written and produced by Chris Zeke Hand. We would graciously like to thank CKUT for their support, the Sweetback Sisters, and the one, the only, the incomparable Brad Slide at DiscoBreak.com for the music, and you know it.